שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש.
We're reading from Rabash the article What are the light mitzvot that a person tramples with his heels in the work. You can find the article in our website or in the new archive, and you can ask questions through the website during the lesson.
Yes, so as part of our study for Passover, the coming out of Egypt, the recognition of the state of Egypt and the escape from Egypt, this entire process that we go through in the beginning of our spiritual development as a preparation for the spiritual development. We're now studying these articles with you. And let's read, let's study. Yes.
What are the light mitzvot that a person tramples with his heels in the work? About the verse, and it shall come to pass, because you listen and keep and do them, and the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy that he swore to your forefathers. Rashi interpreted as follows. If the mitzvot, the commandments or good deeds are light, which a person tramples with his feet, listen and the Lord will keep with you his promise. So far his words. We should understand what it means to us that if a person observes the light mitzvot, then the Creator will keep with you the oath. We should understand this condition, which implies that otherwise it is as though he, God forbid, cannot keep the oath he swore to your forefathers. We should also understand what the interpreters ask. Why does he begin with plural form in Hebrew, keep and do shmartem v'asitem, and ends in singular form in Hebrew, will keep with you? To understand this, we must first understand the meaning of the 613 mitzvot that we were given and in general. In the introduction to the book of Zohar, it says, the mitzvot in the Torah are called Pekudin in Aramaic, deposits or commandments, as well as 613 in Aramaic, counsels. The difference between them is that in all things there is panim, anterior, and acho, posterior. The preparation for something is called acho, and the attainment of the matter is called panim. Similarly, in Torah and mitzvot, there are we shall do and we shall hear. When keeping the Torah and mitzvot as doers of his word, prior to being rewarded with hearing, the mitzvot are called 613 counsels and are regarded as acho, posterior. When rewarded with hearing the voice of his words, the 613 mitzvot become pkudim, deposits. This is so because the 613 mitzvot, where in each mitzvah the light of a unique degree is deposited, corresponding to a special organ in the 613 organs and tendons of the soul, etc., and this is regarded as the panim, the anterior of the mitzvot. Doers of his word is during the preparation, before a person is rewarded with hearing the voice of his word. For hearing is when a person has been rewarded with vessels of bestowal. For only then is there a receptacle for the abundance to clothe in vessels of bestowal. At that time, he has ears to hear the voice of the Creator. But while he is still immersed in vessels of reception, a person must work in doing, called action. Although the body disagrees to work for the sake of the Creator. Rather, he must believe that although he is in a state of lowliness, meaning that the body disagrees with this work, to work for the sake of the Creator, still the Creator enjoys this, because in a state of lowliness, the person feels that he needs the Creator's help. Hence, at that time, he has close contact with the Creator, since he feels that he has no other way, and only the Creator can save him and deliver him from this lowliness. However, the person asks himself, where is the Creator's justice and integrity? He labors and observes Torah and mitzvot, and he wants no reward for this. Rather, he wants to work for the sake of the Creator. As it is written in the Zohar, to work because he wants to serve a great king, meaning because he is great and ruling. When he asks the Creator to let him feel his greatness, and the person believes that the Creator hears the prayer of every mouth, each day he stands and waits to have more feeling of the greatness of the Creator. But in the end he sees that he has come to greater lowliness. In other words, he feels that people on the street are not as immersed in self-love. So the person asks, how come people on the street who have no prayer that the Creator will deliver them from self-love are fine? And he sees that they feel the order of the work as utter completeness, meaning they know that each day they are advancing, meaning that their possessions are growing. It is, as I said once, that each of them has a log where he sees how many mitzvot were registered to his name each day and how many pages of Gemara he can write in his log. He, to the contrary, sees the opposite, that each day he is worse than the day before. And when the person introspects, he sees that he has several ascents each day until he sometimes thinks, now I am certain that I have reached my goal. Not as it was until now. But suddenly, thoughts that confuse him come to him, and he forgets everything. Meaning he completely forgets even about the ascents, and feels nothing but lowliness. Now, after all the work he has done, he has become worse than ever. He begins to look at himself, and finds not one good deed. And he feels as though he has never observed Torah mitzvot. The question is, how can a person explain these feelings to himself? Are they true or false? That is, with respect to reality, and reality cannot be erased, he certainly exerted and observed Torah mitzvot, but according to his feelings, it all disappeared. The question is, where did they go? Meaning, who took them? Since he does not feel them. He cannot say that he is suffering from amnesia, and this is why he has forgotten everything. After all, he says that he does remember the bad things he did. The answer is that we must believe in the sages. As it is said in the Zohar, which interprets what is written, or make it known to him that he has sinned, and asks, who makes it known to him? And he explains, the Torah. As we once explained, by learning the Torah with the intention to achieve the truth, meaning to really be a servant of the Creator, meaning that by keeping Torah mitzvot, he does not mean to work for himself, meaning that he will receive reward. Rather, he wants to keep Torah mitzvot, as the sages said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. That is, he studies the Torah as an advice by which he will truly become a servant of the Creator, meaning that he wants to work for the sake of the Creator. This is why the Torah notifies him that he has sinned. This means that the order of the Torah as a spice is that first it lets him know that he has sinned, meaning how immersed he is in self-love. This is regarded as the Torah, which is the spice, giving him the kli, vessel, meaning the lack, so that he will need the Creator's help. It follows that the Torah notifies him that his faith in the Creator is something foreign to him. Put differently, he feels how far he is from the Creator, that the Creator to him is like a stranger. As Baal HaSulam said about the verse, there shall be no strange God within you. God means that the Creator should be to you like something foreign with which you have no connection. A person is immersed in self-love, which is disparity of form from the Creator, since the Creator wants only to bestow, while a person, by nature, wants only to receive. For this reason, he and I cannot dwell in the same abode. It follows that where one should have felt close to the Creator, he feels remoteness from the Creator. This is what the Torah makes him know, meaning one who studies the Torah, since he believes in the words of our sages who said, the Creator said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. This spice is given to a person so he will feel how far he is from the Creator. It follows that the Torah gives man the kli, meaning the lack, for man to ask the Creator to deliver him from exile called the exile in Egypt. It is known that Metzir Yam, Mitzrayim, Egypt, means Tzar Ayin, narrow-eyed, meaning jealous, that a person has no power to bestow but only to receive. Although he sees that it is impossible to come close to the Creator before all his actions are in order to bestow, he nonetheless sees that there is no way he will be able to achieve this without his help. We already said many times why the Creator did this, meaning that there will be no option for a person to emerge from Pharaoh's control. The answer is, as Baal HaSulam said about what Abraham asked the Creator when he promised him the inheritance of the land, how will I know that I will inherit it? And he said to Abraham, know that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. He said that Abraham's question was that he saw what would be the inheritance of the land, which is Malchut, that carries the upper abundance, which contains the five Bchinot Naranchai of Kedusha. Also, it is known that there is no light without a Kli, meaning no filling without a need. Yet Abraham saw that Israel have no need to obtain the completion of the degree. Rather, if they attain a little bit of illumination from above, they will be satisfied. Naturally, they will have no need to obtain the Naranchai of Neshama that is included in Malchut, which is called the inheritance of the land. So how, said Abraham, will they receive the light when they have no kelim, called a need? At that time the Creator told him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. In other words, the people of Israel will be in an eretz land, meaning eratzon, desire, that does not belong to the people of Israel. They will be under the governance of the will to receive, which belongs to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They will be tormented, meaning that the people of Israel will suffer because they are unable to work in order to bestow, which would bring them dvekut, adhesion with the Creator. At that time, they will need the Creator's help, as it is written, and their cry rose up to God from the work. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham. Our sages said, he who comes to purify is aided. The Zohar asks, how is he aided? And it replies, with a holy soul. In other words, first one is given nefesh. If he is rewarded more, he is given ruach. This means that to the extent that one comes to purify himself and demands help, the help he receives from above is considered part of the inheritance of the land. According to the above, we should interpret what we ask. Why, when a person begins to study Torah for the reason that the Torah is called a spice, when one begins to walk on a path of truth, where the Torah is as 18, meaning counsels, how to conquer the evil inclination, the person begins to see how each time, instead of feeling closer to the Creator, he feels that he has become farther. We asked, is this the way of the Torah, by which one becomes farther from the Creator? The answer was that the Torah first gives him a kli, meaning the lack, to see how far he is from the Creator. This is why the Zohar says that the Torah notifies him that he has sinned. It follows that one should not say that he is studying the Torah in truth. So why does the Torah not help him as a spice? The answer is that one should believe in the sages that the Torah does help him by revealing to him that he has sinned, meaning how far he is from the Creator. And because of it, he can pray from the bottom of the heart, since he feels that he is worse than other people. Although, if he asks himself, he sees that he makes more efforts to keep Torah and mitzvot. So why does he feel that he is worse? A person cannot answer this. But he says that as far as feeling goes, I feel that now I'm worse than when I engaged in Torah and mitzvot before I started walking on the path of truth. In other words, in everything one does, he sees that it is all half-heartedly and not as before. This is as Bala Sulam said, that the Creator said to Abraham, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will be tormented. By this, they will have a need to inherit the land. That is, by the length that they will have, when they are bare and destitute, they will be in a state of, and the children of Israel sighed from the work, and their cry rose up to God from the work." In other words, the work itself, the fact that they are not progressing in the work, but to the contrary, will create their need. And then the Creator will help them each time they want to be purer. By this, they will have kelim to achieve the inheritance of the land. According to the above, we should interpret what we asked, and it came to pass because you listen that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy that he swore to your forefathers. Rashi interpreted, if the light mitzvot, which a person tramples with his heels, listen, and the Lord will keep with you his promise, we should understand his condition that if you keep the light ones, the Creator will keep his promise. Otherwise, he will not keep the oath. The thing is that light mitzvot means things that people belittle, referring to the mind and the heart. That is, all the mitzvot, when keeping them in order to receive a reward, a person does not belittle these mitzvot. Rather, all of these mitzvot are called serious or strict, since they might cause the loss of the reward. Therefore, the reward they expect to receive in return for them makes these mitzvot important. In other words, the reward makes them valuable. However, when a person should work for the sake of the Creator, which to him is above reason, the person has no regard for this, since the body resists doing so, working for no reward. Therefore, when we say to the body that we must work only in order to bestow upon the Creator, the body says that this is far from the mind and it is not worth straining for such work. Then the person sees that he cannot overcome the body. As Bala Sulam explained, the fact that it is not within man's power to emerge from the control of the will to receive for himself, the Creator did this on purpose, so that by this, a person would acquire the need for the Creator's help, for otherwise he is lost. Hence, when a person asks the Creator to help him, by this he receives help from above. This is the light of the Torah, which reforms him. As said in the Zohar, that by this he receives kelim and a need to attain the Naranchai of Neshama. This was the Creator's answer to Abraham's question, "How will I know that I will inherit it?" It follows that precisely when a person wants to observe the light mitzvot, he needs the Creator's help. Otherwise, if a person has no need to observe the light mitzvot, which are contemptible mitzvot, then he does not need the Creator's help. And since he has no need for the Creator to help him by giving him Naran Chai of Neshama, since he has no need for it, so Abraham's question, how will I know that I will inherit it, returns, since he has no need to obtain the inheritance of the land. It therefore follows that the Creator cannot keep the oath concerning the inheritance of the land. For this reason, Rashi's interpretation, where he says that if you keep the light mitzvot, the Creator will be able to keep and the Lord will keep, meaning that the Creator will keep His promise. Otherwise, it is impossible to keep His promise. Accordingly, we should interpret what we asked. Why does it begin in plural form, ushmartem ve'asitem, do and keep in plural form, and ends in singular form? The answer is that when a person begins to work, he has two authorities, his own authority, namely the will to receive, and also he wants to work for the Creator. When a person sees that he has two authorities, he asks the Creator to help him cancel his authority and leave only the singular authority, meaning the authority of the Creator. Then the Creator helps him annul the authority and leaves man only with the singular authority. This is why it is written in singular form, "And the Lord your God will keep with you," meaning that the Creator will keep him so that he will have only the singular authority. According to the above, we can understand what it is written, "It is not for your righteousness or the integrity of your heart that you come to inherit their land. Rather, it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you, and in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your forefathers, to Abraham." We should understand this. If the Creator wants to give the inheritance of the land to Israel, because he swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, it means that the reason he gave the inheritance of the land to the people of Israel was that he promised to Abraham the inheritance of the land. But here, the verse says that the reason he gave the inheritance of the land to Israel was the wickedness of the nations. This implies that, were it not for the wickedness of the nations, he would not be able to keep his promise to the forefathers. We should understand, why is it that if there is the wickedness of the nations, the Creator can keep the oath, and because of your righteousness or the integrity of your heart, the Creator cannot keep the oath? According to the above, in the work, the wickedness of the nations means the evil within man's heart. A person cannot defeat it and must cry out to the Creator to help him and liberate him from the governance of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And how does he help him? It is said in the Zohar, with a holy soul. This means that each time he asks for help, he receives a holy soul. By being in exile and wanting to emerge from exile, meaning when a person feels that he has the wickedness of the nations, who are not letting him work for the sake of the Creator, but only for himself, this is regarded as having to work for the sake of the nations of the world within his body. This is as it is written, "And they built for Pharaoh cities of affliction, Pitom and Ramses." Baal HaSulam interpreted that when they wanted to work for the sake of the Creator and overcame the control of the Egyptians, this is the meaning of Ramses, meaning that they overcame this self-love, like Ra'am, thunder, Sus, horse, meaning with great power, like a horse. They thought that they had already emerged from the governance of self-love. But then they came to Pitom, Pitehom, mouth of the abyss, meaning that all the buildings that they built sank and were swallowed in the abyss. Another remnant was left of this work. This is called Pitom. In other words, each time they had worked in the manner of Pitom and Ramses, meaning that each day they had to work anew. That is, each day they felt as though today they began the work of holiness, and felt that as though until now they had never engaged in the work. They asked themselves, where did the work and labor that they had done thus far vanish? But they do not know what to answer. As was said, it all sank and was swallowed in the ground. They could not tell their bodies, why do you not want to work to exert today? After all, yesterday you saw that when you labored, you received the strength to work. You cannot receive something from yesterday, since he does not feel that yesterday he did something, for it was all swallowed in the ground. Indeed, why is this so? Rather, this is a correction. It follows that if a person looks at himself and he has good deeds, he has no need to ask the Creator to help him, since anyhow he has no place in which to receive help from the Creator, as there is no filling without a lack. Thus the Creator cannot keep the oath concerning the inheritance of the land, since they have no need that he will give to them the inheritance of the land as help. This is why he says, it is not for your righteousness or the integrity of your heart that you are going to inherit the land. Why? Because if they are fine, they have no need. This is the meaning of the words, it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out. Since because of the evil in his body, there will be need for help.
We can see how this article is chock full of scrutinies.
So
first of all, if there are questions, then go ahead. If not, I'll ask questions. Yes, Nessie.
It says here that it follows that the Torah has given a person a kli that is a lamp, so that the person will ask of the Creator to bring him out of the exile called the exile of Egypt.
Yes.
And it's repeated throughout the whole article, this thing that the light, the Torah, should give one the deficiency, the lack. But we learn that the deficiency has to come from the friends. How do we kind of put that in order?
Nice. That is a great question for you, actually. So, how do we recruit or enlist the correct desires, the correct lacks from the Creator or from the friends? In what way? In what way do we muster this deficiency? A deficiency for what?
For zvekut, adhesion.
All right, adhesion. Let it be for adhesion. It's not that simple, though. All right, start from that. How do we muster the deficiency for adhesion, for coming out of Egypt? In general, go ahead, quickly. Start waking up.
Rabash writes here that there's a single source that a person receives the deficiency from for the help of the Creator. This is the Torah.
The Torah. It said that the only source is the Torah. And really, when one begins to study Kabbalah, he feels more and more how distant he is from the goal and from the Creator. How he can't do it alone, and he must always add more to the yearning the longing that he must receive from the friends.
Yes, that on the one hand he wants it, on the other hand he is not able to do it, and he feels that the source of the force has to come from the outside, and in order to receive that force he has to invest in their request.
After the point in the heart awakens in the person, the question of what's the meaning of life, or what's the purpose of life, one begins to scrutinize his own qualities and to criticize it, and criticize his own situation, calling it bad because he sees that he's only receiving for himself and it doesn't affect his life in any way. He's just being rocked to and fro. And through these scrutinies, he finds that there is a power doing this to him. And then he seeks adhesion, and he looks for an environment which can preserve this lack and even develop and enlarge it. And this is the environment. So it's asked, in what way do we muster this deficiency from the Creator, from the friends? So the awakening comes from the friends, and the fortification, the preservation, the increasing of that lack comes from the environment which one connects to.
The Torah is, or the engagement in the Torah is what reveals the deficiency, reveals the evil, and through this evil we can advance.
Yes, because
Rav, why can't we now just come out of Egypt? What are we missing, lacking? What are we missing now in order to come out of Egypt? In short, a few words.
A lack is missing. We lack the understanding of what is this form of coming out of Egypt. We want to naturally have it better and to move to a fuller ego, and that's not called coming out of Egypt.
We don't feel the necessity. We don't have a necessity that this is the only thing that we want. Just to break through and run out of here and discover the Creator, bring Him contentment. We don't suffer as a result. We don't have a yearning for it.
We lack the necessity. We lack the vessel, the kli.
The greatness of the goal is not scrutinized enough between us. And also the fact that we're influenced from an environment that says that for the time being, everything is just good.
Love. In what do we advance towards the exodus from Egypt? What is advancement? Of course, it's not about the time passing, but rather, in what do we advance in order to come out of Egypt?
Revelation of evil. In my opinion, the revelation of evil is what will bring us out in the end.
We advance in the scrutiny of what is the lack, what is to truly want to come out of Egypt, what does it mean?
Yep. I feel that in the recent time, in all of the congresses and in the great congress we had, we're advancing by discovering how much, in truth, each one of us is nothing, each one of us is a rag, each one of us is incapable of reaching the goal by himself. And he needs the help of the friends and the help of the Creator.
Perhaps in other words, it can be said that we advance in the feeling of not advancing, even the feeling that we're just walking in place or even walking backwards.
We are obligated to invest work. It seems that just like in the daily routine in corporeality, you invest work, and here too. And then Rabash's question comes from this clip that we used to hear before the morning lesson. Who are you working for? That is, are you working for Pharaoh, maybe for somebody else, or so that maybe it's for the Creator? This question is echoing in us, and it sends us to scrutinize.
Well, the scrutiny of the Pharaoh within us, between us, through constant efforts to come closer together, we find how opposite we are to this connection.
Rav, why do we feel weakness during this time? Each time it's weakness and weakness in all kinds of manners, and weakness even increases, and because of that people drop out, they leave the path of Kabbalah. This is the main reason, right? They don't feel progress. Why do we feel lack of advancement and weakness, which is actually advancement? Please.
Yes, with every corporeal earthly goal, in order to receive, I'm supposed to get it, to attain it by my own powers, to invest and achieve it. And here it sounds the same. We need to exert, to work together in order to get some to some goal. It sounds like some anything that you might accomplish in this world. But here, we have to come to something completely different, which is called the Creator's help. This need of, well, only if I come there, if I come to be completely despairing with my own strength, I can achieve it.
It's exactly like Rabash writes, that the reforming light that we manage in our common effort during the lessons and Congress to draw, it reveals to us the layers of the will to receive in which we feel that I don't get anything for myself. All I'm getting is more and more layers, more and more I'm far away from the goal that I was depicting to myself.
Rav, according to what do we examine our state, and according to what should we examine our state? According to what do we examine our state, and according to what should we examine our state? Please.
We check according to the reward, and we should check according to equivalence of form with the Creator, according to the intention.
Yes, it said that in love of friends, one cannot deceive himself. There you have a gauge for how much do you want to pray for them, to ask for them. And we need to get there. And truly the best gauge is joy from the friends, the extent to which you have joy from belonging to the society and are happy with every contact you have with the friends.
Yeah, we measure it on ourselves, but we should measure it on what is outside of us, measure it in the spiritual kli that we build in the ten, in the society.
Yes, we should measure according to the need for the Creator's help.
We check our situation in our will to receive according to the reward, according to how much we receive from each and everything. That's our nature. We should measure according to the final goal, according to the connection between us and the adhesion with the Creator in our center, the center of the ten.
In what exactly does the Creator's help come to us? In what exactly does the Creator's help come to us?
Maybe by giving us the strength to ask or the necessity for it.
The Creator always uncovers a new layer of truth to us. He creates the evil inclination, He reveals to us a new layer. And with that, He gives us the Torah and the friends, the morning lesson, an opportunity to make an effort to ask for the correction of this new layer that has been uncovered.
The help of the Creator comes to us when we cry out, when we need it in the spiritual kli.
The Creator's help comes to us when we need Him more and more. Naturally, we have no need of Him. We'd rather live quietly and forget about it. And the fact that He doesn't allow us to do that, to live quietly, we need Him more and more because we don't have any power of our own. That's how we get the help.
Yeah, when we want to be in bestow, specifically above the reception. When we reach despair, it's impossible to receive anything within myself. There's no reward there, but rather more and more descents. By that necessity to reach bestow, an equivalence of form.
It helps us in achieving this necessity. That's how he advances us.
We get the help of the Creator when we build a necessity for it. And the building of the deficiency, this is through our yearning for connection in the ten, in the end.
Help is felt according to the advancement towards the goal.
Rav, what is the main curse in the work of Pitom and Ramses? What is the essence of the work in Pitom and Ramses?
The curse is that one thinks that he's building Ramses, that by his own strength he has the great power with which to overcome, that he's very successful in the work of the Creator, that he's always in the intention and prayer for the friends, this fantasy that he has the power to achieve it. That's Pitom and Ramses.
Yes, when a person thinks that he has the powers to do this work and to reach the revelation of the Creator.
And this refers to people who are already working in order to attain the Creator, at a point where they feel they have some advancement, some reward, and there is a danger of just becoming stuck there.
The essence of the work there, or the result of the work, is that we discover that we're working for Pharaoh, that all of the work is in vain, it has no purpose, it doesn't promote us, doesn't advance us towards the goal.
Those are the same series of misery, which is later, it's later revealed that they're a great danger, falling into the ego. You've tried to build something spiritual and ultimately fell into the ego.
Yes, but this is also the salvation when one discovers that he is in Pitom after he thinks that he was going to build these nice cities and then he discovers that these are miserable cities. This brings him to the necessity. Maybe it's a curse for the ego, but really it's a blessing. It gives you the necessity for the help of the Creator.
Yes. With one's own strength, one doesn't need the Creator. Meaning, you believe in your own strength so much that you have no need of the Creator. That's the...
I don't have anything to add.
The need for the Creator is truly a part of this building. We make a lot of exertion to come to the need for the Creator.
Rav, why is it that the more we work, the more we feel helplessness?
Well, because we're advancing towards bestowal. And we haven't any ability of even coming close to an act of bestowal. And as when we advance towards some kind of sweeter form of the will to receive, but ultimately they want to advance us towards the truth. And in truth, we have no flavor for bestowal.
Yes, exactly. It's the lack of equivalence of form, that reception and bestowal seem to be in a different place. He and I cannot dwell in the same abode. So we discover how egoists we are and how much we are the opposite of bestowal and how much is truly there's an abyss between us and the force of bestowal.
There's no fuel. The ego, the will to receive, doesn't support this work. It resists it. And always one discovers this more and more.
We're the only ones who have a demand for a reward, to work without a reward. This is a contradiction in terms, and we understand that this action, we are powerless to do it. We don't have such a force to create such a change in man's nature. rather some external force has to come and affect this change in a person, so that he'll be able to enjoy working in bestowal.
Exactly. This helplessness is discovered in respect to my own capability. And this direction of salvation, to look for salvation from something external.
It's in order to bring us to the necessity in the work for the request, so that we'll truly have some change in our nature. Otherwise, we'll simply be replacing one desire by another desire.
What exactly is the exodus from Egypt? What should we depict to ourselves as the exodus from Egypt?
Suddenly we begin to see that each one by his own forces is worth nothing. Only together, if we connect, we can cry out to the Creator towards this force that we don't feel, that seems so far away, but he's the salvation, he's the goal, and together within us we begin to guess and feel that he is the salvation.
And perhaps for a moment or for some time, there is this answering of the prayer from above, and there is the power, there is fuel with which to work, not in order to receive reward. And until now, there was no energy to perform this work, and for a moment, this power was given from above.
The exodus from Egypt is the exodus from the ego. It is replacing one operating system within us, within the person, in the society, that we're all together are willing to make this change, seemingly putting ourselves on the Creator's surgery table and say, this is what we want now, not more onions or garlics or some other things.
The exodus from Egypt is the jump from ourselves outwards into bestowal, a jump that is above human capability. It's something supernatural.
Rav, why specifically about this time of Egypt it was said that 1,000 come out into the room and one come into the room and one leaves out to teach or to the Torah? Why is specifically this period of time a great obstacle for anyone who cannot develop within him a true desire? Please.
Because in this time, one seeks to gain something from himself until all his juice runs out. If he can't get happiness from being connected with the friends, as was said before, then he keeps returning to that loop until he's ejected out.
Because during this time, his desire becomes clarified, if it's true, indeed, to come out of Egypt, or he was imagining coming out of Egypt as making Egypt greater, to moving to the more fertile, richer part of Egypt.
Yes, the Creator revealed to each one a great will to receive, anyone who invested in this path and did everything that needs to be done. And then he sees that he cannot receive any reward. And then he comes to that that point where he needs to break through the machsom, the barrier, to break through this boundary between bestowal and reception.
The person is on the scales. On the one hand, he wants to bestow. On the other hand, they reveal to his intention to him, which is not corrected. His intention is that he wants to bestow in order to receive. And he has a problem.
Yes, 1 out of 1,000 is not the probability of winning the lottery. It's the fact that from 1,000 individuals we become one. Each one, his self is annulled, immersed becoming part of the friends, and we're born together as one, we. And people who want to come to discover the Creator, reveal Him, make lots of efforts, and they find that we need to be born as one, something new, they perceive it as impossible to attain. And there are some from whom this is the breaking point, the recognition that in Egypt he's being thrown into the Nile.
There are many scrutinies that a person goes through, and in the end, only one of those ends up being the true one. So he does a lot of work, puts in a lot of effort, but he discovers that out of 1,000, only one of them was a true effort towards connection.
Rav, why is the article called "What are the light mitzvot, the light commandments that a person tramples with his heels?" Why is the article called "What are the light commandments that a person tramples with his heels?" What are these commandments which are light, which a person tramples with his heels? Please.
According to what I understood from what Rabash wrote, these are mitzvot in which there is no reward, in which the deficiency is revealed. The despair of the ego, when he sees that he's not going to get any reward, he doesn't have the ability to advance by himself, he has no hope of making any step by himself. The way he was thinking of advancing towards the Creator egoistically, he's shown the truth, that you cannot advance egoistically towards the Creator. And he's trampling them with his heels, he steps on them, he doesn't appreciate them, they seem to him as contemptible, unrelated to the goal, the opposite of what it should be.
Yes, one needs to perform actions which are for the sake of the heavens, for adhesion with the Creator, bestowing contentment upon Him, and one disregards that because he doesn't feel any reward in it.
I was thinking that maybe these are things that are it's similarly easy for the person to do, and this confuses him, that seemingly he's performing mitzvot, and perhaps he's being shown that he has the powers to do them, so maybe that's why they are light or easy.
We're used to working with our egos and preferring in our corporeal lives the place of least effort and most reward. That's the work with the ego. And when we approach the spiritual work, we don't use that same mechanism. There are things which we are inclined to disregard as unimportant. So we shouldn't make an effort, like loving the friends, for example. No, you can go straight to contact with the Creator and to ascend with Him upwards and to the heavens. But it turns out that in those little things in which there's no reward, that's actually the great reward, meaning learning to work without the reward.
That same illusion that the ego depicts to us until we come out of Egypt.
In the article Peace, from the Peace by Baal HaSulam, he writes that because we don't know the commandment of bestowal, we keep violating it. And here, I hear the same from you. Because one cannot see that these light commandments, the true acts of bestowal, are the meaningful acts. He doesn't understand how harmful he is to himself and to the environment, and that's what drives him out of the path ultimately.
Rav, how many reasons can we count for which a person leaves that work, leaves the path, specifically at this time, before one counts out to redemption? How many reasons can we count for which a person leaves the path and without reaching redemption? Well, each one of you should think and collect these reasons. How many all in all can you find?
I think that main central reason is that he's not careful about appreciating the society and starts believing what his ego depicts to him. the evil tongue regarding the society, and he follows it. He is willing to listen to it.
When a person misses lessons, congresses, yeshivot chaverim, everything related to the society,
one simply doesn't receive reward. He has no taste for a connection or the work, and he begins to work doing everything he's accustomed to doing, but has nothing that holds him here. He has no fuel.
I would say that there is one reason, which is lack of importance of the society. But it is split into two. One, like Itai said about the reward, it's like a donkey advancing through a carrot or a stick. These are reasons of losing the greatness of the goal. And the reasons related to the stick doesn't seem threatening enough. There is nothing that pushes him ahead. But in the end, it's the result of lack of inclusion in the society. So from all the directions, the person should receive these values, the qualities from the friends. Turns out that those who remain are actually at fault for those who leave.
There is also the element of luck, I think. You just look at all the observable data and there is something else here. What causes one to remain or to leave? It's some calculation that we don't know.
I would summarize it as three things. One is the greatness of the Creator, the importance of bestowal, of reaching that. The second is the connection of the society, how much we depend on each other, having this feeling, this attitude to the friends, that I love them and I depend on them. And the third thing is, from above, they decide that I will have a desire or I won't have such a desire.
Another reason, I think we mentioned most everything, but also internally, the way I relate to the friends, to the means, and also externally, how careful I am to adhere, to come, to be included, even physically.
The Creator adds problems to each one, and the person, instead of caring for the friends, starts more and more to care about himself, and he falls into different problems.
How one relates to the study, meaning the feeling that our good future, this transformation of the nature by the reforming light which we can gain by the study when we read this Torah and want to change.